Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined this week by Justin Martinez. Justin, filling in for Jacob here on the show. Justin, your first experience covering a game from the OSU side of things. You've covered some bedlams, but now you're on the other side. We'll get your thoughts on that. Obviously, Oklahoma State just a little while ago completed a 43-30 victory over Houston at Houston. Very interesting game. Lots to talk about. But Justin, we'll start very broad, wide question. But your thoughts in general on this Oklahoma State team?
Yeah, first time, obviously, like you mentioned, got to cover a few bedlams on a few weeks ago. But you know, feel like I came in at a pretty interesting time. This is an opportunity for them to try to get a bounce back game after last week. And you know, Gunny had described this as like a culture win, so I feel like I came in at the right time and got to see a pretty cool performance by the Cowboys this week.
Yeah, it was very interesting, really good for the last two and a half quarters, or two quarters and a couple of minutes. But sitting there in the second quarter, they get the safety when Ollie Gordon gets tackled in the end zone. They're trailing 23-9 at that point. Felt like nothing had gone right, other than the one touchdown drive they had been able to scratch out. Even that, they had the extra point blocked. So it felt. I know you weren't in Orlando with me last week, but it felt like things were kind of crumbling for this team, didn't it?
Yeah, I think Gunny said all that was missing was the rain, pretty much, compared to last week. But yeah, you're starting to get to that point where you're wondering, okay, is Houston going to start to run away with it here, just like last week? And then, you know, you get the Trey Rucker interception. That sent them up at, I think, about the 22. They scored two plays later, OSU does, end up scoring 10 unanswered points to end the first half. And just like that, they're right back in it, end up going 27 unanswered points for the whole time, and just really never looked back after that.
Yeah, really pretty crazy to see them make that turnaround after going, you know, all of last week just looking mediocre at best and very out of sorts, and then deep into the second quarter with not really showing a whole lot of life, and then Rucker intercepts that pass. And it was like the light bulb just came on. You got to see Jaden Bray score his first touchdown in a while. You know, that was a really important return to have him back on the field for this team, because they are dealing with depth issues at receiver. He made a really impressive play on that fade to the corner of the end zone for their first touchdown.
Which he called, by the way.
I did. I called that one. I don't know. People were asking me to make more predictions like that. I couldn't do that. Other than late in the game, I could have predicted some Ollie Gordon runs, but that was about it. But something about that formation when they came out onto the field out of that stoppage, and Bray was way off, separated way left outside, and they had no safety help over the top, and you could just feel it was a perfect one-on-one opportunity, and they went right to him. Bowen makes a great throw, Bray makes a great catch, and they were on the board. So, and then they had almost an identical play after the interception to Leon Johnson III, got his first touchdown as a Cowboy, which was a really big deal. So, really solid help from the receiver corps that has been dealing with a lot of injuries, and we haven't even talked about the big one, which of course is Brennan Presley. Your impressions of him, because he had quite a game, 15 catches, 189 yards, just pretty ridiculous from him.
Yeah, I mean, my first full game covering OSU, and talk about a strong first impression by Mr. Brennan Presley. Like you said, 15 catches, 189 yards, 15 receptions is second for OSU in program history for catches in a single game, behind Alex Lloyd in 1949.
That's pretty crazy.
So just a really good performance. And you can tell just right out the gates that they were making a real effort to try to get to Brennan. He took some really tough hits, made some tough catches, obviously making guys miss after the catch as well. Just really strong performance by him to really lead that receiver's room.
Yeah, you got to see the full gamut of what Brennan Presley can do. particularly with some of the shots that he took. There were a couple of plays where he took some really strong pops from defenders, and that kid bounces right back up all the time. It's really impressive. And one where he got hit as he was catching the ball pops up, and he's able to grab it and haul it in still. Just all the way around, really impressive performance. Also very important because of the way that Houston was using their safeties. It was making the run game really difficult for Ollie Gordon. 9 carries for 38 yards at halftime. And, you know, as we mentioned, had the safety where they were on the 3-yard line, and linebacker came right up the middle, completely clean, and hits him as soon as he gets the ball a yard deep in the end zone. It felt like it was going to be like last week, a week where he was going to have trouble getting going. But they did enough with Presley that Houston had to mix up some things they were doing with their safeties. Oklahoma State was able to find some running room, and then you got to see some more traditional Ollie Gordon as well. Let's see what he can do when he gets into the open field.
Yeah, I mean, Ollie had mentioned after the game, I mean, it's no secret that teams are going to make a real effort to say, hey, you're going to have to throw the ball to beat us because we don't want Ollie Gordon to beat us. You know, they're going to be stacking the box, which is just as you would expect for a guy like Ollie. But for him to really get going, you know, still finishing 25 carries, 164 yards, 3 touchdowns as well, including one on the their last drive to help really put it away. Just really strong performance by him, even though obviously teams are going to plan to stop you. You know, still managed to really do his thing today.
Yeah, I didn't go check on any other running backs around the country. The North Carolina guy was in second behind Ollie in yardage for the season, but 164, probably going to keep him, I would think, in first place, leading the country in rushing yards. He was also leading Power 5 players in all-purpose yards, so he added another 18 receiving yards today, so you know, up in the over 180 for his yards from scrimmage today to help boost that total as well. So we'll see where exactly he stands. Obviously, the win, the really important factor there in terms of this team trying to stay alive in the Big 12 title race, and they are in really good position. Texas held on and won their game. Kansas State and OU both won. So the tiebreaker scenario that is ideal for Oklahoma State, which is, of course, taking advantage of their wins over Kansas State and OU, is still in play based on what happens next week. And Texas plays a Friday night game. OU also plays on Friday. So OU will have OSU will have a very clear picture of where things stand for them in terms of the Big 12 title game hunt. And you know, assuming Texas wins, OSU is basically looking at a win and you're in, and you heard Mike Gundy talking about it, but getting to a Big 12 title game, really big deal for this program.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the way that they started off this season, for them to have bounced back the way that they have. You know, obviously last week was one that was a setback for them, and it looked like it could have gone that same way this week as well. And all of a sudden, you're just looking at a 2-game losing streak where maybe the season starts to get away from you again. But for them to bounce back the way that they did in this one, definitely think it is warranted for Gundy to say that this was a culture win for them, for sure.
You know, this felt like almost like the whole season wrapped up in one game. You had some really ugly stuff early, and they get it going. Defense was very much the same way. They had, you know, got hit with some big plays early. They were getting hit with quite a few in the 20 plus range, including 2 touchdowns. One being the 28 yard throwback to Donovan Smith, the quarterback, on the trick play for a touchdown, and he had the 60 yarder to Jonah Wilson early for the touchdown. They also had the pick six that went you know, that was not on the not on the defense, but. But then they were able to reel it in, and once again, like we talked about earlier, it was kind of the Trey Rucker interception that sort of flipped the switch for the defense as well.
Yeah, 5 straight drives after that for Houston, and ended up in punts. Seemed like the defense really settled in. Obviously, a play like that is a real momentum shifter, especially when you're heading into halftime and you're just searching for something to kind of get you going. And they really did keep it going after that. You know, Nicholas Martin, I think, did a really good job. 12 tackles, which was a team high for them in this game. Also, 3 tackles for loss, which is a career high for him. So really good job getting pressure. Also a sack on top of that as well for him. So, yeah, I just thought that this defense really settled in after that Trey Rucker interception. It seems like everybody that we talked to, whether it was offense or defense, going back to that. Alan Bowman said that was a real turning point for him. You know, obviously Nicholas Martin as well. So, yeah, it was really just one of those moments you can kind of point back, look back to and point at and say that's kind of where the tide started to change there for him.
Yeah, and with Martin, obviously I know you wrote a little bit about him with his tackles. I think it was maybe his 5th double-digit tackle performance of the season. But he has earned the nickname the heat-seeking missile, or just the missile for short.
Yeah.
And you got to see that. His closing speed is impressive.
It's something else. He actually got asked afterwards how he feels about the nickname. And I mean, he got a good laugh out of it. I mean, it definitely is fitting. This is obviously one of my first real introductions to seeing him, and I mean, it's something that really just jumps out when you watch it. It's just how quickly he's able to close out. Seems like he just finds a way of being wherever the ball is at. He just knows how to get there. Perfect timing, and it's just it's a really impressive performance by him.
Alex Hale was perfect, 3 of 3 on field goals. Did have that one extra point that got blocked, but and it sounded like that was probably on him. It sounded like it came out low. Not necessarily. Maybe, you know, it was a high snap, and maybe it got the timing off a little bit. But yeah, a correctable issue, and he was perfect on his field goals, 2 of them over 40 yards, which is an area where he's been fairly reliable this year. And excuse me, I'll let you tell the story, because I know you wrote about this as well. But Gundy's story of trying to find him on the sidelines late before the final touchdown. They were trying to set it up for a field goal there, and it sounded like Gundy had a little bit of trouble finding it.
Yeah, he was looking around, because I mean, he had pretty much said that, you know, they're looking to kick that field goal, make it 2 possessions, seal the game. I think there was about maybe 2 minutes and change left in it. They're already inside the 10-yard line at that point, and he was trying to find Alex, who could ask him, you know, where do you want to place the ball? Do you want it left side, middle, right side? We'll just tell Ollie to run wherever you want the ball placed, essentially. But they couldn't find him on the sideline, and eventually they do, and Alex walks up to Gundy, and he pretty much said that he looked like he was just on a brunch on a Sunday, just how casual Alex was, and he was just like, yep, middle's fine by me, just as nonchalant, as casual as can be. Obviously, Ollie ended up scoring on that run up the middle, which was supposed to set up the field goal, so they didn't actually need him in that instance, but still, 3 for 3 on field goal tries. I haven't seen how the rest of the nation, how it all shaked out this week, but I think he's going to end up at the top, leading the nation in field goal makes this season, 24 to his name right now. So yeah, just as calm, cool, calm, collected as can be. It's a really solid performance aside from the hiccup on the point after attempt, of course, today.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I'm a voter in the Lou Groza Award, and the semifinalist ballot is out right now, and he's one of I think there's 15 guys on the ballot right now. We're voting it down to 3 at this point. You know, he's I want to say 24 of 30 maybe. If I'm going on memory here.
Yeah.
So he's got more misses than some other guys. There are other guys that you know, have better percentages overall, but you look at his numbers from beyond 40, beyond 50, he's really solid. And you look at his overall production, he's like you said, higher than anybody else that's in the running. There are some guys in the semifinalist category that have only made like 14 field goals coming into this weekend. So you know, it's going to be interesting to see how different voters weigh different things, and there's a lot to look at when you're doing that. You know, some of the things that I do look at is you know, what you're doing with your opportunities, what your over 40 and over 50 numbers look like, and different things like that. Now there's some other, there are some guys that are really good in all facets, but Alex Hale is right in that mix. It's going to be interesting to see where it shakes out for him. It's 2 years in a row with OSU with a field goal kicker on the the semifinalist list, Tanner Brown, was actually, I had him on my top three last year. I don't know what I'm going to do with Hale just yet this year. Got to figure that out probably tomorrow, to get my ballot in. But, Tanner Brown, I thought was deserving of a top three spot, did not quite make it. Still really, really solid, been really reliable for the Cowboys this year, Alex Hale has. So that's going to be interesting to watch, see how that all plays out. All right, Justin, we come to the end of the show. I normally call this the most important thing I forgot because I always forget something, but I didn't prepare you for that. So I'll just say, was there anything else that, that you think that we should have talked about that we didn't get around to?
It's not really football related, but I will say the barbecue in Houston.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm from San Antonio, so I'm from Texas, and love Oklahoma City, but coming back to Texas and getting that Texas barbecue, they had that at the game today up in the press box. Don't know where it was from. I would love to give it a shout-out if I knew the name, but
no kidding.
The barbecue was on point today, that is for sure.
Absolutely was, and that's... Listen, Oklahoma State puts out barbecue every week, or almost every week in the press box for the pregame meal, and it's really solid. But I mean, they had a guy like hand slicing the brisket there. The chicken was tender and juicy. The mac and cheese was fantastic. I'm not a green beans guy, so I passed on that. But all around, really solid meal. I was really impressed. This was the best seat I've had for a college football game, maybe ever. It's a smaller stadium; it only holds 40,000. But they also have the press box down below the upper deck, in a lower section. So you're right above the lower bowl, and feels really close to the game. I only used my binoculars like three or four times, and most of those were trying to track Ollie Gordon whenever he had looked like he had maybe hurt himself. We really quickly to take it back to football, we should address that. He was in a walking boot after the game. Did not seem to think it was serious. It was hard to tell how serious he was being when he got asked about it. He said if they had a game tomorrow, he'd be ready. But the look on his face suggested maybe that wasn't quite true. But either way, he came back both times after he had to leave the game and ran really hard. So, I think it's something that with some time and some treatment will be handled rather quickly. So, all right, with that, I'll anything else, Justin? I think we covered pretty much everything.
I think so.
All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of the Cowboy Chronicles. Jacob and I will be back at Stone Cloud on Monday afternoon for our next midweek podcast, and that'll do it for now. We will talk to you next time on the Cowboy Chronicles.